You will attract a soulmate level love when you can hold yourself as much as a high regard as you do the people that you love, your family, your friends, and even your partners. You will attract that level of love when that is the foundation that you have for yourself. Hello. I'm back with another episode on the Erotic Renaissance podcast. We are officially starting season two of the Erotic Renaissance podcast. And season two is very much going to be about love, about sex, and about the skills that you need for being in relations with other people. This first episode I named Love is a Skill. And the reason why I wanted to do this podcast episode and how I got this idea is because I find that from having done so many of your readings and helping you with so many of your love relationships, I find that there is a bit of a misconception when we think about relationships. We have this idea of love that is very much about a feeling rather than the commitment and skills that it takes to maintain a deep level of affection and a commitment to another person or another person's, right? Love can be taken as a feeling, but it also can be used as an action. It also can be used as a way to commit to something or someone. And in our culture, I think there is a very, very big emphasis on the feeling of how someone makes you feel or feeling in love. And a lot of the time, that feeling that we're even talking about can be obsession, it can be infatuation, it can be longing, desire, lust, which are all like feelings that we all have experienced, and they're not always inherently bad. You know, there are ways to use obsession. As someone who has ADHD and hyper focuses on things, who, you know, I have found ways to take my obsessions, my hyper focus, and use them in really, really productive ways. However, when we're talking about relationships between people and getting into romantic relationships, our culture has this perception, like if someone's not obsessed with me, if they are not all over me, if they or if like I am obsessed with them, if I think about them all the time, that this is love. And because we believe that this is love, we think a few things after that. We think, one, this means that this person might be my soulmate, my twin flame, you know, whatever. And then two, we think, well, this means I have to be with this person. It means that we need to be in a committed romantic relationship together. And one of the things that I really want to get across in this podcast episode is that being obsessed with someone is not actually love. Thinking about somebody all the time is not actually love. Somebody thinking about you all the time is not actually love. Somebody being obsessed with you and calling you and texting you all the time is not necessarily love. Love has to do with a commitment to affection towards another person or to a thing. Right? There's a sense of commitment. Because what is the difference between infatuation, you know, the feeling of just being obsessed with someone, and what is, like, how do we go from that to love, right? It's the commitment piece. Whether you're someone who's in an open relationship or in a traditional monogamous relationship, or you are in just a long-term relationship, whatever your relationship looks like, we have to get really clear on what that definition is. Because the biggest mistake that I see with relationships nowadays is taking those feelings of obsession, of intensity, and confusing intensity for love. And these are actually not the same thing. Love can very much be treated as a skill, which means that there could be some people who are good at it, some people who are not so good at it, and you can always develop it. You can always learn about it. You could always do better with it. And I think that viewing love as a skill is very useful in relationships, because I talk to so many of you. I talk to so many of you who are just so discouraged. They're like, you know, I'm never going to find love. I'm never going to find it. It almost as if there's this rainbow at the end of the tunnel, and you're going to have to look for it. You know, I'm never going to find love. And love is a skill, right? Love is something that you are going to learn. And the first type of love that you need to learn is the love for yourself, which I know sounds very cliche, but you don't have to find love, because love is a state of being. It's something that you do, and it's a skill that you can develop. So if you don't have love with another person, you can find love in other places and other areas of your life, like being in loving devotion to your passion, being in loving devotion to yourself, being in loving devotion to your friends, because friendships in our culture is just very, very minimized. The importance of friendship. And one of the things that I will say is, like, my best friend is someone that I consider my soulmate. We have a mostly platonic relationship, and this is someone who I very much consider to be a soulmate. We have a soul level connection, and that love and that devotion is still a skill. It's still something that I had to develop over time. When I first met my best friend, you know, we didn't have the articulation to talk about our feelings and to help each other like we do now. It's something that developed over time. And because of that, I think that we can really just misconstrue our expectations when we're trying to find a relationship. And we don't actually necessarily even know what we want. We know that we want the feeling of being loved, and we know we want to feel validated, and we know we want other people to love us. But as far as that goes, a lot of people don't necessarily get very deep into what they're looking for. What kind of values do you share with this person? And what do you want your futures to look like? What kind of people are you? And how do you even show love? Does one show love by buying gifts, or does another person show love by doing something for another person? Because this can happen and get misconflated all the time. I know a lot of people who will be in relationships with their men, and I'll see the male partner take out the garbage and, like, clean up for them or something like that. And the woman will be like, well, I don't feel loved by you. I don't feel loved by you. And it's like, well, I took out the garbage. I did this thing. And it's like, but you don't say that I'm pretty. You don't think that I'm attractive. I actually had, this was a conversation I actually had with one of my friends with their partner. And one of the things that we talked about is the fact that, like, what if this, your partner is showing you love by doing these things for you, and you're not receiving it or feeling it as love? Like, because that's not the way that you receive love, because what you're looking for is words of affirmation. You're looking for compliments. You're looking for literally to hear that he loves you, right? So this is why I say love is a skill. Love is something that you could develop. There are a lot of different ways to show love. There's a lot of different ways to show commitment to another person and to be in deep affection with another person. And there's levels to it, which is something that I didn't realize until I started getting into a really long-term relationship, in which I really had to work on myself, work on the way that I receive love, work on the way that I give love, and just do this work. I found myself in these spaces with my partner that are very new and unfamiliar to me. There's a sense of security and comfortability that I've never had, but it was something that I really had to cultivate in my relationship, because so much of my life has been about not feeling safe to love or to be seen or to be validated by another person, there's always this sense of feeling like I have to protect myself. And if I don't protect myself, then something bad is going to happen, right? So I had to really learn how to let myself be loved and to receive love from another person. And that was monumental for me. That was really intense for me. Again, it was a skill that I had to develop. So what I want you to kind of get from this podcast is to maybe open up your a little bit further your idea of what love could mean, so that you don't feel like you're necessarily having to look for it. When am I going to find love? You have love. Love starts with you. Love starts with being able to look yourself in the mirror and look yourself in the eye and say, I love you. You're valid. These emotions that you're feeling are valid. And even though you may not look the way that I think you should look, even though you may not do things the way I think you should do them sometimes, I still have deep love and affection for you. Do you know, in my coaching practice, when I've coached a lot of women, I will say, you know, can you look at yourself in the mirror and look at yourself in the eye and say that I love you? And I remember doing this coaching session with one of my clients, and, you know, it was a practice that we were doing. And I remember she cried. She had so many tears because she had never felt that much warmth towards herself, which is ridiculous, right? Because we really have to know love in order to give love, in order to receive love, in order to have these healthier relationships. So this is kind of the thing that I want you to think of. When you're thinking about getting into a relationship, I want you to ask yourself this question. Can I look myself in the eye and say, I love you, and mean it? Do you mean it? Do you feel it? Are you feeling the lived, embodied experience of what it means to love yourself? And love isn't necessarily about liking every aspect about yourself. It's not about, you know, I'll love myself when I hit this weight. I love myself when I get this job. I'll love myself when I get this man. I'll love myself when I do a particular thing. Love is this deep reverence and affection and commitment to being in reverence with something, to hold it in high regard, even when you don't feel like it. Because if you get into a long-term relationship, to hold someone in high regard, to hold someone in reverence and in deep affection, even when you don't feel like it, it is hard. It is so hard. A lot of the love that we see is very conditional. And there needs to be conditions when it comes to the way that you deal with your relationships. Like, there needs to be conditions. You know, if you want to be in a relationship with someone who has a certain amount of money, there is like nothing wrong with that. But when you get into that relationship and you have that commitment to love, even when that person is pissing you off, because if you're in a long-term relationship, I promise you, there are going to be days where you wake up and you look at your partner and you're like, I could punch you in your motherfucking face right now. I really could. I really could. And you would deserve it. Like, there are times where I look at my partner and I'm like, you know what, son, you are not it. It ain't it today. You want to stay out my way. Like, you need to stay out of my way. But I am committed to loving him in the long term. And I am committed to being in reverence and to finding my affection even when it's hard. And this is even more scary and difficult when it comes to yourself, when it comes to dealing with yourself. And so if that is the case, then that is the essential question. That's what I want you to do when you think about love. Can you look yourself in the mirror in your eye and say, I love you, and really mean it? Live that embodied experience. Or maybe it's something that you even want to try, you know? And if you find that it's like difficult, then ask yourself why. What are you holding back from? What condition have you placed on yourself that says that you are not worthy of love? Like, what condition did you put on yourself that says that you're not worthy of love?
You know, like, what kind of cap, what kind of criteria did you put on yourself to say that you are not worthy of love? And how are you going to deal with that? Right? Because wanting to improve yourself, I think a lot of people think that wanting to improve themselves means that you can't love yourself until you have the improvement. And that if you do love yourself before having the improvement, that you will never improve. And that's not true. If you think about having a child, right? And that child is maybe they failed their science class. You would never look at that child and go, you know what? You're not worthy of love anymore. You're not worthy of love anymore. I don't love you anymore, right? Because that's your child. You're going to love them and help them improve. You're going to love them and get together and work on that science homework. You're going to love them and do what's good for their best benefit, have their best interest at heart at the same time. These things are not counterintuitive, but this is not necessarily how we look at ourselves. This is not necessarily how we deal with ourselves. And because of that, I find that we tend to have all these little criterias, little caps, little, you know, I will love myself when. And when you've really, truly learned to master that, you will find that partners and attention and attraction comes very easily to you. You know why? Because there's this inner sense that you feel as though you are worthy of love. And you don't have to wait to get a man, to get a woman, to get a beautiful non-binary sovereign to love you in order to cultivate that skill. You can have love all the time. All the feelings that you associate, that you put on other people, that you feel as though they give to you, you can have that by yourself. And it's beautiful when you have that with another person. But if you are not with another person, don't cap yourself and say that, well, I can't experience this love. I can't experience romance. I can't experience this affection and devotion to holding myself in high regard. I can't experience it because I don't have a man to do it. I don't have a woman to do it. I don't have a non-binary to do it. Like, this is important, you know? So I hope that listening to this podcast has given you a couple of different ideas about the different ways that love can be expressed and how it's something that you can work on. You can work on loving yourself. You can work on being more loving in a relationship. It's a skill. It's not this, you know, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that you only get the opportunity to find, you know, if you're lucky enough. You know, it's something that you can work on. And the more that you work on loving yourself regardless and holding yourself in higher guard and holding yourself in deep reverence and affection, the easier that it will be that other people love you, because that's going to be your state of being. And as we believe in manifestation over here on the Erotic Renaissance podcast, we know that holding ourselves in that high regard and creating the energetic foundation of self-love is the key to bringing more love into your life, because you are telling the universe that this is the vibration that you are hanging out at. This love is the vibration that you are hanging out with. Therefore, it'll be so much easier to attract partners, to attract people who treat you as just as much of a high regard as you treat yourself. So that's what I have for you guys. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. We are going to be deeply exploring love, twin flames, sex. We're going to get very spicy for the month of February because I have a certification in sex, love, and relationships. And I actually know a ton about it, and there isn't a lot of good sex education out there. So I'm going to give it to you here for free on this podcast. That is all I have. So I will see you next time.